This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I am Meera Sivasodhi and it's the new year. Dr. John Ben Law, US licensed marriage and family therapist, in the studio with us. We are discussing letting kids feel the pain of failure. A lot of us have had our kids receive their results, whether it's government schools, private schools, the works. But what is it like coping with failure is what we're going to be discussing today. Welcome to the show. How are you, Dr. John Ben?
I'm doing well. Happy New Year.
As a person who grew up in a very traditional Chinese family, how did you deal with failure? And, how were you brought up to deal with failure?
Have you heard of shame?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, failure and shame, it just kind of goes together.
Okay.
Teachers shame you. They put you in front of the class. You are the failing ones. And then, of course, they also put the stars up there. And family members, your son did better than my son, that kind of thing. Now, my mom didn't actually do that. She didn't like the whole competitive sort of put down your children. But that was rampant and you felt it. Yeah.
How did you cope with it, though?
Not very well. I was a particularly bad student. I didn't do very well. I think I didn't like studying in the medium of Chinese. So I didn't like the style. I would go against teachers. I just had our 38th year reunion from our standard six
and
class.
And how did that go?
It was wonderful.
Really?
Yeah, it was really good. It's the third time we have met from 33 years later, 35 years later. And then this 2017, December, was our 38th year after graduating from standard six. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine?
Is everybody scarred like you?
I think that was a mixture. It's interesting. It's interesting. Yeah. And I do remember in my work to become a therapist, as a therapist also, you need to have some work done for yourself. And I remember, working on my memories in school was actually one of them, being punished, being shamed, and feeling not free, to grow as who you are naturally meant to grow as.
But how would you define failure?
Well, I don't even really like the word failing. It's just a standard, right? It's a standard that we put on something that if you cannot achieve, then you fail. So, unfortunately, I think the idea of failure is a little bit... I think it's necessary on the one hand, but then on the other hand, for development, healthy psychological development, that needs to be a better way to understand what failure is and what success is, and putting that in the hands of the children so that they can achieve, quote-unquote, success more naturally, more intrinsically.
But wouldn't you say that there is value in failure?
Yes. Well, apparently, there is this article that has come out, right, that's looking at failure. Now, the study is actually done by marketing business researchers on everyday types of things. But some people have begun to apply that to children and fathering and what it means to let your children dwell on their emotions of failure. So there is some studies to show that there can be some good things. So I'm not one to just jump on the bandwagon of, let children do anything they want, let them say anything. That's not reality. The reality is there are boundaries. But when the boundaries are too strict and too harsh, you can also stifle the child's creativity, the child's health sometimes.
You want to just tell us a little bit more about this study and what were the outcomes? What did you learn from it?
Yeah. So basically, the study was done by three researchers from University of Kansas, Ohio State, and also Stanford. And it was published this year in the Journal of Behavioral Decision Making. And the title of that article is Emotions Know Best, the Advantage of Emotional versus Cognitive Responses to Failure. So it's actually a compilation of three different studies. And in the study, basically they had their subjects, or the participants, most of them were undergraduate students, go through an exercise whereby they had to look for a low-cost blender, right? And then when they find it, everybody was told that the lowest cost was lower than what they had been able to find. So there's this feeling of failure. Mm-hmm. You know, you didn't achieve what the study wanted you to achieve. Of course, they didn't know that at the time. And then there were follow-up studies, getting them to do another task. But before that, they were told that you had to reflect on your experience. One group was told that they had to reflect on their emotional experience, very specifically emotional experience. We will ask you to write about your emotional responses, the mix of emotions you may have felt, the intensity, etc. Please only focus on these types of feelings. And then the other group were told to write about their objective thoughts about the task and the outcome. What they discovered was that in the next task, where they were asked to find a lower price item, the subjects or the participants that went through the emotional processing worked harder and did better at the second task of finding a lower priced gift, this time for a friend. But the ones that did the objective thought reviews of themselves either gave up or didn't do as well.
Okay.
It's a very interesting finding.
Absolutely. I mean, if you were to apply this, you know, in the real world, how would you... you know, in terms of failing exams, how would we go through this emotional experience and, mm-hmm. and list it down?
Yes.
And then what do you do after that? So we're not going to go with the objective thoughts, all right, for the moment. But if you talk about emotional experience, what are we looking at?
So we're looking at how did you feel. So I like to use an acronym for four basic emotions: mad, sad, glad, and scared. These rhyme. So basically the angry cluster, that's the mad. Mm-hmm. Sad is the sad, grief, loss, that cluster. Glad is the happy, joyful. And then scared is the fear cluster, right? There's also shame. You can add that in if you want to as a fifth one. But dwelling, not say dwelling, but... thinking through or processing, that's the word we'll use here, processing the emotions, becoming aware of them, how you felt in not getting the grade that you had hoped that you would get. I felt sad, I felt disappointed, or I'm feeling afraid, you know, because of some consequences that might come about as my future choices of where else am I going to go for college or university, for instance, mm-hmm. right? So focusing on these, maybe they're doing their mocks, right? So that's a good one. It's mm-hmm. a mocks. So from this one small study, which is more on everyday objects, focusing on your emotions is better than objective thoughts. And you have to look at what the objective thoughts are.
What are they?
Yeah. The tendency is dismissive and self-protective. So, you know, it's not important. You know, explaining yourself away. So not taking the ownership. Mm-hmm. So from this study, as I read it and I thought through it as a clinician working with people all of the time, is I think what this is really another way to look at it is it's about ownership, right? I'm owning this failure, right? And then I'm feeling it, I'm in touch with it. When we process emotions, that's where it's closest to the body. That's where it feels closest to who I am. What I think is not as close to what I feel in relation to who I am. So when we are processing our emotions about something, I think it then aligns more closely with ownership, as opposed to the dismissive thoughts. Well, it was a hard exam. Well, not that many people did well anyway. Well, you know, I could have done better if I had studied. That's a typical one. I didn't study. I still got a B. Not too bad, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So owning the uncomfortable feelings, the uncomfortable emotional responses to failure, can then possibly, based on this study, and we need more, of course, generate self-improvement tendencies for the next time.
And what if this emotional response is so overwhelming that you want to quit?
No, that's very important. So speaking as a clinician...
That sounds like me, Dr. John Min. I mean, you can use me as a case study. I'm going to come out and say it. I'm afraid of failure.
Are you?
Absolutely.
Are you? I couldn't tell by the perfection that you are.
There you go. You used the word perfection. And hence, there is no room for failure.
Yes.
And I find it very difficult coping with it.
Yeah. So I wonder if you are, can I say, we just talk about you.
Yes.
For a while.
Change. For a change.
Yes, that's nice. It's always about me. So... I wonder if you actually sat down and with some guidance maybe, to protect you from running into the more self-flagellating, self-punishing kinds of thoughts. If you sat down and you were able to really sit with your emotions, felt them, worked with them, just in that gentle, accepting way, as almost like a loving mom to yourself, right? You know, this felt bad, right? Boy, I'm with you. This feels really bad. You know, it's not nice to be able to fail. There is in that kind of conversation about your emotions, it can become very soothing, right? But surprisingly, then the next time, according to this study, the next time then you would actually want to do better. I don't know. I really want to explore this further. I think I'll even write about it, maybe do a little bit of asking people.
I think you should, because that fear of failure, anyway, I think it's something beyond my capabilities. I would then just not take it on.
Yeah.
For that fear of failure. So we'll come back and find out more about this whole idea of failing when it comes to children. I'm sure a lot of your children have received their results recently, whether it's SPM, whether it is UPSR, the Form 3 exams, those in international schools, results always coming out throughout the year, actually. So we're discussing that with Dr. John Ben Loy, a U.S. licensed marriage and family therapist on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Mira Sivasodhi. In the studio with me, Dr. John Ben Loy, U.S. licensed marriage and family therapist. We are discussing letting kids feel the pain of failure. This is based on a study by Ohio State University where they have actually made
Kansas State and Stanford.
Yeah. And that's three universities. What's come through is they got children to sort of list their emotional experience versus their objective thoughts when it came to failure. Of course, they were given a task, and it found that those who listed and addressed the emotional experience did better
in the subsequent task.
Absolutely.
That's right.
So we're trying to find out more about this emotional experience and how to deal with failure. So as parents, how then do you cope with this when it comes to your children? How do you help the children cope with failure?
Mm. So speaking more generally rather than about how I work with my children, more generally then, we're looking at not seeing failure as something to punish your children for. Failure is already punishment enough. I think that's the first thing to understand. That's the negative consequence of the preparation that you have put in, or it is the best that you could have done given your circumstances, one or the other. There really is no point to punish your children for not doing well.
But it's very Asian to do that.
Yes.
We tend to go overboard.
Yes. And then, we also create a cohort of people who are afraid to try. In fact, I was talking to someone that I respect a lot, a good friend of mine. He was on this show, Jonathan Lee, And he just continues to grow his business again and again. It just gets bigger and bigger. And having a meal with him, he was encouraging me to fail forward. Right. And here I am going like, oh, no, I can't. I need to succeed forward. You know, it's fail forward. You know, let's talk about AI and therapy.
Yeah.
You know, and in a sense, you do need to embrace that fear in order to try something new. So if we're going to punish people for not doing well, maybe they did try, especially if they did try, they didn't do well, and then they get punished. That's a really bad combination. And especially when they're younger.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so how then do you react or manage this emotional response when it's so overwhelming and your child just wants to quit? Or for anybody who really just wants to quit.
So wanting to quit is a different thing. So wanting to quit is they are already interjecting that dissatisfaction on them in such a strong way. So this one I can talk about me. Because it did happen, my daughter was put in a part in a musical of an old man, a 60-year-old drunk sailor. And her voice was just beginning to become more soprano-ish. She could not carry that tune. And so in certain parts, you couldn't even hear her, right? And she went through it like a trooper, did her 3 or 4 shows. And then at the end of it, she really just said, I'm not going to do this anymore. And she loves dancing and singing and acting on stage. And what I had to do was, you know, intervene. And she talks about it today because I know she told her brother about it, trying to encourage him. I got her a bunch of flowers and brought it to her the last show. In the card, I wrote to her that it's about trying. It's not about failing. It's about trying and trying and then continuing to, you know, love what you do. This was not a good part for you, you know, vocally. But if you're going to quit now, you're going to also let go of something that you love. So it's really not about how well you did. It's about how hard you try. I really put effort into it, into consideration. We're born with our brains. So intelligence is inborn. You can shape it with a lot of good education, but some people are born smart. And you got a straight-A, born smart person, by the time they get to Oxford, they're average, and they're going to struggle. I know, because I went to Cambridge. I see how smart the students are. You're just average. So, you know, there's always going to be someone smarter. That's not the goal. The standards are set by somebody else. If we set up our own internal intrinsic motivation, who knows how you will fail forward and succeed even more? That's my philosophy.
What about dealing with it with, you know, positive reframing, humor perhaps? Mm-hmm. I mean, or should we not just say anything to the child?
No, I will talk to my kids, but I will. So let's say, you know, a bunch of C's, you know, and things like that. I would say, well, we kind of anticipated this, didn't we? Because really the grades came way before the exams. The grades came from a whole term of work or 2 terms or a whole year of work, right? So as parents, my question to the parents, speaking as a parent here, maybe a little bit harsh sounding, but we need to also look at our role. What did I do, you know, as the parent to contribute to the scenario whereby my child is not learning how to put in the right effort to get the right kind of grade that he or she wants to get?
I've had one child do that to me once. You didn't sit down with me enough, and that's why I didn't do well.
And that's a sign of you as a great mom. You know why?
Really?
Yes, I think so. Because you had that space for her to voice herself and tell you. That's maturity. Was she a teenager at the time?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and she's got a teenage brain, teenage emotions, so that's appropriate. But listen to what her critique is. That's good critique. And I will just grow that. You know, I'll say, you're right. Oh, well, I guess I failed along with you. We failed. We all failed, right? Let's all bask in our misery. So next time, according to the show, we will all do better. Parents, why don't you bask in that misery yourself?
Right? And
for a little bit.
And, you know, how do you move on? I mean, I just had one child who went through that, you know, the whole idea of she didn't fail, but she didn't do as well as she wanted.
Yeah.
But all I did was say, you know what, just move on. Mm-hmm. We need to move on because you cannot dwell in this. But honestly, I was lost for words. I mean, she was in tears and, you know, really upset. And so I let her get over it. And then all I said is, it's just time to move on.
Yes. Really depends on how she's thinking about it, right? So, I mean, this is an experimental study that's very controlled in terms of what people are thinking and what they're doing. It's a low consequence task, right? Buying a blender, a cheap blender. So it's sort of an everyday decision. But with regards to someone university bound?
Exactly, okay. University bound.
There are consequences. And I know some moms who really tiger moms, right? Who really, and dads too, right? It's Oxford or Cambridge, nothing else. Harvard, okay, you know, if we can go that far, right? And I, you know, some of these kids are biting their nails, injuring themselves before exams because they're so stressed out. If I don't get into Oxbridge, you know, I'm worth nothing. That's not true. That's not true at all. In fact, I feel a little bit, you know, passionate about this, that I think that the future is not going to be in the hands of those who go to Ivy Leagues. It's going to be in the hands of those who know how to use technology and create something new. That's the future. So those coming out of the Ivy Leagues will work for the entrepreneurs. So the failing forward friend that I have never got a degree.
And you will find a lot of these people when you go for your school alumni.
Yes, that's right.
They're the ones who didn't excel really in school.
And then what happened to you? Why do you look so good?
Successful.
Why are you so successful?
Entrepreneurs.
Yeah. And I think there is a pathway of learning for that too. Yeah. Now, it really depends, coming back to your example, really depends on what it is that they're experiencing. If they're starting to hate themselves, then really need to move on is a good piece of advice. But kind of like, don't worry about it, just move on. That's dismissive. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to do that. And I don't think you do that.
No.
Right? Yeah, there is a time to move on. But if they're not moving on, then the question is, what's holding you back? That becomes a different conversation. Because I'm not going to get into the school. Well, let's take a look at what this school means. Let's take a look at what other schools mean. All right? Let's talk to people.
I think peer pressure plays a big role as well.
Yeah. All my friends are going. I'm not going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as a parent, how do you manage that?
That's a tough one. Well, I think that what might be helpful is to think back through what could have been different in terms of the way we prepared. Right? Is there anything that could have been different for your next round? Because even though on the one hand, I think, you know, going to an Ivy League is not going to define your success necessarily compared to being entrepreneurial and working hard and being a little bit desperate to really keep striving. The other thing is getting good education is not just about the undergrad. It is also about perhaps master's. It's about ongoing learning. Believe it or not, even though I got my MBA from Cambridge University, now it's ranked like one of the top, I don't know how many hundreds, no, in the top 10 program around the world, the MBA. I'm going on Coursera to refresh my memory on cost accounting. And you know, as far as I'm concerned, those free online courses are just as good. It's about how I apply it rather than attend a program and feel like I need to be spoon-fed by my lecturers.
But they don't get it.
Who doesn't
get
it?
The kids don't get it.
The kids don't get it.
Because you've been through it, right? We've been through it. And I'm trying to tell, I'm on the verge of just telling her, you know what, I didn't go to these top universities, but I'm fine. Mm-hmm. They're not going to listen to that, mm-hmm. right? At this mm-hmm. stage, they're all in this world of, you know, I need to get to a good university. I mean, it's not a bad thing,
yeah.
but it's just that when you have to deal with failure, mm-hmm. it becomes difficult as a parent to sort of console them or tell them, you know what, this is really not that bad.
Mm.
You've been through it. Mm-hmm. They haven't.
Yes, they haven't. Do you want to talk to somebody about it? Somebody who might be able to, you know, help counsel you, maybe even a professional.
Mm. Do you see many children who struggle with dealing with failure?
I don't see as many teenagers as I see adults, mm-hmm. But when I do, oftentimes it's very high stress, high students with burnout. So I actually wrote a blog post about it. I call it expectation burnout, where they push themselves so hard, but actually they never really owned the learning. And that's what I'm afraid about for my kids too, is you're going to push yourself so hard for what? You want to be clear for what? Are you enjoying and loving the process? Because that's what's going to keep you going. I'm more interested in sustainability and learning than I am in you getting that one final formative feedback, which is called the final exam grade, right? I'm not so interested in that one mark. Yes, it has consequences, but this consequence is only somewhere between 19 and 23. After that, like me, I almost failed York University in my first year. I'm telling you, I got a D in economics.
Shame on you.
Yes, and I got a C+ in macroeconomics because it was a little bit more fun
okay.
for me. So those were my grades. But then I switched into music because I loved music. And music I was a straight A student in music, right? So I mean, when it added all up, I still got into Cambridge.
And when all of this was happening, how were your parents coping with this?
They had no idea.
moved to music.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That one's another story about my dad and wanting me
please.
To do business. But my father wasn't really interested in me being an academic. He was interested in me just studying business so I could come back and do business.
Yeah.
It was a different story.
Which you didn't.
Nah. So that's about what you want to study rather than how well you're doing.
Did he not give you a hard time when you moved to music?
Yes, he did. He did. Didn't I already share this online for the
remember.
World to hear?
Oh. I can't remember, actually.
Okay, so I switched over to music, right? And I also minored in psychology at the same time to sort of figure myself out. This was after the first year of almost failure, in which I was actually seriously considering suicide. It was that bad. Yeah, I've been through it. So, you know, if you're worried about college, trust me, you know, Uncle John Ben has been through it, right? Been there. Looked at many tall buildings and even identified the one where I would actually consider jumping off.
I'm not kidding. Tendencies.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
You never told me this.
Well, it is there. It's in my very first blog post, johnbenloyd.com. Go and look at it. From 2014, I think, I wrote it. And so from there, I switched in, and then sort of a year later, I had a conversation with my father on the phone in which I mentioned to him that, by the way, I'm not studying business anymore. I am studying psychology. I thought that would be a softer landing than music. And then he was in New York at the time in business. And then he just gave me an earful for about 5 minutes over the phone. He hardly ever calls me. So it was like the first time. And then he says at the end, you know, you might as well study music. At least you can be a piano teacher. You're laughing because did you say that? I hope you didn't say that to any of your kids.
I would never.
Yes. So, you know, at least you could be a piano teacher. I was insulted because, you know, he just put me down and he put down piano teaching. Also, I didn't like that at all. So I just said to him, actually, I'm minoring in music too. He just said, you kids, huh? And the word useless came out of his mouth and he just hung up. And that was my conversation. That was my first blog post, all about following your passion. Follow your passion. If my father knew how much I was earning per event today, he would be so proud of me. But then I wouldn't be very happy with that either. It's like, no, don't be proud of how much I'm earning. I'm proud of the fact that I continue to learn, I continue to contribute to society and to my family.
But that's what they worry about as parents. I mean, so that you will be
a generation
able to
ago.
Stand on your own 2 feet, you know.
Yes.
You've got that proper education.
And I do too, but not solely monetary value. For me, I think the more powerful thing to focus on is sustainability. Sustainability of your child in continuing to take care of themselves. Not monetary value is not, it's just a proxy for what you really want to consider. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we're looking at the wrong thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So do you want to share with me? I mean, I'm sure, and I do know some kids do have suicidal tendencies when they fail.
Yes, especially very top universities. That's where the suicide rates are highest.
So what's your advice?
Again, it's this focus on, if I don't get this, then life is not worth living. That's not the right focus. The focus is on, how do I continue to love what I'm doing? Follow your passion. I don't care what it is. Because in the future, even if you are a lawyer coming out of, what's the best school in England for law? Leicester? I don't know. Oxford,
no idea.
Let's say. Let's just throw in Oxford, right? You come out, you could easily be replaced by a freaking computer program that's smarter than you, that's going to learn super fast. You're out of a job, buddy. What are you going to do now? Be enterprising. That is my thing. For my children and any teenager or young person that I meet, that's what I talk about now. That's the future. You have no idea what the future is going to look like, right? My friends are scaring me, literally, saying that, let's talk to an AI developer. Nowadays, you don't even need to have all the algorithms or all the parameters figured out. You know why?
Why?
The AI learns. So you don't even need to know it. The programs itself can learn. So what does that mean for the future? That means you be nimble. Yeah, you be unafraid to fail forward and just continue to just go with the flow. Where does money come from? At the end of the day, money comes from people. So be very good people readers, not just people on the individual level, but on a group level, on a societal level. When you can understand behavioral economics, and that means how money, what people do with monetary resource and assets. That's the key. And from there, you surf the tidal waves, you know, and that's where you can be sustainable. I don't know if this makes any sense where I'm talking like too highbrow or anything like that.
Don't be so full of yourself, Mr. Oxford and his MBA.
I never went to Oxford.
Sorry, Cambridge.
And the only reason I got in was because they really needed students. It was a new program.
We probably needed some money as well.
Yeah,
so anyway,
right.
What's your message in the new year for parents dealing with children who go through failure?
Yeah. So for parents, it's about having conversations and becoming that safe place for your children to express what it is that's going on for them, how they feel about things, and not to, on the one hand, the traditional way is to kind of punish them and tell them off, etc. Or the other hand, just like, just move on. It's okay. But somewhere in the middle whereby it's okay to have these feelings, let's feel it together. And let's talk together about, you know, what we can learn from this. Something towards self-improvement.
Thank you very much for joining us. Dr. John Ben Loy, U.S. licensed marriage and family therapist, talking to us about failure on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.